This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and today we're going to talk about one of the region's most popular destination places, but from a bit of a different perspective. We all get very specific pictures in our mind when we hear the words Detroit Zoo. Most of those pictures are centered on our favorite animals. Now you can add a mental picture of an organization that is increasingly becoming a leader in environmental stewardship. Back on August 22nd, the zoo announced its commitment to run 100% on renewable energy in 2020. Now that's next year. Our guest today is Ronald Kagan, and Mr. Kagan is Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer for the Detroit Zoological Society. And thank you so much for the time today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
The energy initiative at the zoo is part of what you call the Green Prince program. Can you give us an overview of what all that entails?
Sure. Well, I think, as you said, most people think of the zoo as a place, as a, you know, exciting place to see a lot of wonderful wildlife and understand more about nature. But we're so much more than that, and we've got to make sure that we walk the talk. So we are a conservation organization, and that means that everything we do should be consistent with being a leader in conservation, including conservation of energy. And so it's not just that we do conservation programs all over the world. In fact, we have projects on every continent. But on our own campus, we've been making lots and lots of strides over the past 4 or 5 years in a whole range of sustainability issues, especially in terms of both producing our own energy as much as we can, and also, of course, reducing our energy requirements as much as we can, and many other things, which I'm sure we'll get into. So the program with DTE, which was recently announced, is really to make sure that all of our electricity is coming from renewable sources. We're trying to get to a point where it's all solar, but right now, it's a blend of both wind and solar, and also of the energy we create through our anaerobic digester.
So the goal in 2020 is to be running on 100% renewables at that time. How close are you right now?
Well, actually, we're very close, because for the past few years, what we've done until we could get to this point was we bought credits, energy credits, renewable energy credits to deal with 100% of our electricity. So to some extent, we're already there, but this way we'll be more directly there.
In addition to the partnership with DTE, you have what is called Smart Flower. What exactly is that?
Well, it's really cool, and it's cool because of two things. First of all, technologically, it's cool. It's 40% more efficient than any other solar device, and that's because it looks like a giant sunflower, and it tracks the sun. So it's always at maximum attack angle, which means it is 40% more efficient. And the other key thing is that it's such a striking device that we have a lot of interpretive elements to it. And our 1.5 million visitors a year see this, and they're immediately engaged and want to know, what is it? And we're able to talk to people about the need for renewable energy.
Beyond what you're hearing from the visitors to the zoo, are you getting inquiries from other zoos around the country about how to emulate what you're doing?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, we won a national award for the greenest zoo in the country a couple of years ago. We're contacted by other zoos. We're contacted by companies. I mean, I think that's a really important part of what we do, is to help engage the public and make sure, not just the people who visit, make sure that people understand there is a path forward for all of us, whether, you know, it's at your house or a company. After our announcement of DTE, a whole bunch of other companies immediately expressed real interest. So this is a really great way for us to spread the word.
Beyond renewable energy, the zoo has an ambitious and robust system of dealing with waste. Have you been able to assess how much waste you're keeping out of the landfills on an annual basis as a result?
You know, it's amazing. It's almost like they said it couldn't be done. We announced and we successfully stopped selling plastic water bottles in 2015. We thought it would take us 3 years, so we embarked on this in 2013, and it took us just under 2 years to do that. We don't give out plastic bags, so actually there is an enormous reduction in plastic waste, but the reduction in some ways also is contributing to our energy production. I briefly mentioned the anaerobic digester.
Right.
This, This is a very unique device. We're able to take the 1 million pounds of animal waste that our animals produce every year and turn that into methane, which then powers the animal health complex at the zoo. So we're at maximum efficiency. We're able to produce about 7% of our electrical needs from that, plus the smart flower that we just talked about, which powers our carousel and various other things. So we're getting to the point where on site we're going to be able to produce over half of our own energy, which is pretty exciting for us.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Ronald Kagan, who serves as CEO of the Detroit Zoological Society. And Mr. Kagan, as you well know, one of the great environmental issues of the day is water. Everything from water contamination to lack of resources to stormwater runoff and flooding due to an overtaxed and aging infrastructure. At the zoo, you've made some significant improvements to the property that's really helping address those issues on campus, aren't you?
Yeah, we have rain barrels, we have rain gardens, we're now doing permeable pavement everywhere. We put in new pavement or have to redo pavement, which reduces the pressure, of course, on the sewer system. We're also in the development of a new Great Lakes Center, which is going to be really incredible. It's totally focused on the Great Lakes ecosystem, and of course, the primary piece there being water and certainly infrastructure issues. We're going to try to help the public understand what all of this weird terminology is, you know, watersheds and stormwater issues and things like that, which people are intimidated by infrastructure and all that stuff. And for us, we know how to get people engaged, intrigued by the world of nature.
And connected, yes.
Yeah. So our restaurant is a green certified restaurant, and all of our plastic forks and knives are not plastic. They're made out of potatoes. You know, there's just so many things that all of us can do, and we do them at the zoo, but we also do them to try to help the public understand that they can do the same types of things.
As our time together starts to wind down, I do want to talk a little more about the animals. Our climate continues to change and to warm, and I imagine there has to be an evolution in how best to protect the animal population. What adaptation plans are in place to keep the zoo sustainable for the critters?
Wow, that's such a wonderful question, and it's so critical. I mean, we have been speaking out very directly more and more about climate issues and climate change. And to some extent, you know, some of our audience is not so happy with that because, as you know, there are a lot of people in our community who are either confused or literally will deny the scientific facts that exist. But this is something we've taken on very directly, both in our interpretive material throughout the campuses, because we have two campuses now. We'll have a third when we open the Great Lakes Center. And we're doing more and more interviews and media and educational materials about climate change. You know, like many other things, when the environment changes, there are winners and losers. The problem is climate change just happens too fast, and the vast majority of animals cannot adapt fast enough to that. So it's not hard for us to protect animals that are living on our campuses, but obviously it's incredibly hard to protect animals in the wild when their environment changes so quickly. These are processes that normally take thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, and it's accelerating now so very quickly. There are now a million species that are at risk of extinction by the end of the century. That's mind-boggling. And for people that don't know, when there have been these mass extinction events, it normally takes 10, 20, 30 million years for biodiversity to recover. I'm not sure we'll be around if that happens.
So does that mean that the function of zoos and the preservation of species is even more important today and moving into the future?
Absolutely. And I think there must be a huge change in how we approach what we do. Of course, we'll always want to be a place where people enjoy nature, but it is essential that we help people understand this issue and that we encourage people to take positive action so that we are helpful to the environment and to wildlife, not harmful. Most of the harm that happens is unintentional, but we've got to make sure that people understand what's at stake and that people understand that even if you don't see the impact of something for a year or two, it doesn't mean there isn't an impact. There most definitely is, and we're watching it happen. You know, I've been to Antarctica now six times in the past 25 years.
Quite a change, isn't it?
Well, unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable that you can see in a part of your lifetime such dramatic change. So it is an alarm call. It doesn't mean doom and gloom, but we absolutely must act.
Let's conclude today on a more personal note. Do you get to walk the zoo grounds very often?
I do.
As a matter of curiosity, what is your favorite exhibit to visit, either the one you seek out first or the one you save for very last?
You know, I don't interact directly with the animals because that's not what's best for them. So for me, probably the donkeys in our barnyard are my true friends there. We often will sing together and have fun, but it is just an amazing experience every day.
Well, thank you for sharing your experience, and thank you for the time and the information. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That is Ronald Kagan. Mr. Kagan is the Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer for the Detroit Zoological Society. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and Attorney Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.